Welcome to Resurrection Recovery, a ministry of hope and healing provided by Church of the Resurrection. This podcast is produced by Resurrection Recovery participants as a way to share their experience, strength, and hope as they move through the recovery journey. You can join us every Thursday night at 6 p.m. for a community meal and a personal story, and then support groups at 7 p.m. Check our website at core.org/recovery for special events, location, and a group that might fit your need.
Love you, brother. You guys notice Tom's a hugger. I didn't start hugging people until he came around, really. So I'm in recovery. My name is Bob. And, you know, I thought I'd be nervous, but yeah, I am. A little, yeah. So I'll try to stay on the same path instead of jumping back and forth, because I've been known to do that quite a bit, kind of like my recoveries in the past, but we'll get into that in a minute. So I was born to an alcoholic mother. And my father passed away when I was 3, so I grew up without a father in my life. And my mother, like I said, was an alcoholic, and I can never remember a time that she said, "I love you," or hugged me. Not until she got in a nursing home at the age of 83. I was also what you call a miracle baby. See, I didn't think I was a miracle because my mom spent a lot of time telling me I was a mistake. I wasn't supposed to be born. She had her tubes tied prior to me being born. So I found out I'm a miracle, but I didn't find that out just a short few years ago, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, when I went to a soul healing class at Healing House. So I grew up without love in my family. I had two siblings that was at home. I had an older brother that had been in the Navy, that went to the Navy. But I was never got along with my siblings. You know, I fought with my other brother quite a bit. My oldest brother, I didn't see him for 50 years, but I recently got to go see him 2 years ago after 50 years of not seeing him. God answers all prayers. Sometimes it takes him a while. I remember being a child at about the age of 9 years old, and I went to church camp. And that was the first time I ever heard about God. I knew God created the earth, so I kind of knew about that. But this is the first time I heard about Jesus Christ. And it's the first time that I heard that God loved me. Not other people, but me. I took it individually that he cared about me. And I remember being so excited at that church camp to go home and tell my mom about this God that loved me. And I go back home and my mom's still drunk. The house is still dirty and we're still poor. I said, if this God loves me so much, how could he allow this to happen in my life? So I turned my back on the idea that God cared about me. I thought he was for people that had both mother and father. I thought he was for people that were doing the right things, that had money in their lives and things like that. And then, so a lot of years went by where I didn't think God was for me. And it took a miracle in my life for me to understand that God was not against me. See, God had been performing miracles in my life my whole life. I just failed to realize them. But at this time, my oldest son was born, and he was born premature. He weighed 3 pounds and 11 ounces, and this was in 1979. Yes, I'm that old. But the thing is that his lungs weren't developed on his own very well. So he would stop breathing, and the nurse, he'd be laying in the warm, and the nurse said, just take your fingers and push on his chest. And I did, and he'd start breathing. Well, one time he didn't start breathing, so they rushed us out of the room, and the doctor comes out and he says, your son's not gonna make it, he's gonna die, there's nothing more we can do. We've done everything we know to do. He's breathing on his own for the moment. If you wanna hold him, now's the time. So my wife held him a few seconds and couldn't handle it. And I held him just a little longer and he stopped breathing and they rushed us back out of the room. My wife and I both were not religious people, but we did know there was a God. So I got on my knees and I said, God, please don't take this son from me. I'll be the best dad I can be. And 20 minutes goes by and the doctor comes out and he says, I don't know what happened, but your son's gonna be all right. See, it took a miracle for me to understand God wasn't against me. That was a miracle, okay? So I would like to say that I turned my life around at that moment, but I didn't. I continued to use drugs and alcohol, and I continued to live the lifestyle I was living. I started drinking at the age of 9 years old. It was the first time I got drunk, and I remember that feeling so well. I liked the way it made me feel. I got really sick, but I liked the feeling it gave me. And I got drunk, it was on vodka. So I got really sick. And then somebody introduced me a couple of weeks later to a drink called Ripple, and it was wine, and it tastes like Kool-Aid. And I'm like, hey, this is good, right? Because it gave me the feeling and it didn't make me sick. So from the age of 9 years old on up, I continued to use alcohol and drugs to change the way I felt. I never liked the way I felt because of my life at home. It sucked, okay? So I found out from my mom that if I put a chemical in my body, it changes the way I feel. So when I did that and started doing that, I continued to do it because I never liked the way I feel, like I said. So I continue to find something different to put in my body to change the way I felt. I didn't realize I don't need a chemical to change the way I feel. See, I found out that God replaces that chemical in my life, but it took me a lot of years to figure that out. There's been different periods throughout my life of sobriety. I've had probably 6 1-year celebrations. I've had probably 4 2-year celebrations, 3 3-year celebrations. I'm getting close to celebrating 8 years this time. And what happened every time before when I'd be in recovery, I would say that prayer that most of us have said, it's only 3 words, God help me. I've said that I don't know how many times. But then he would, and then I'd go, okay, I got it now. And I'd quit asking him to help me. I'd give up on that idea. I'd think things would start going smooth in my life and I'd feel pretty good about who I was, and I'd be in recovery going to attending meetings and working the fellowship, not the program, but the fellowship, just hanging around people, getting this thing by osmosis, right? And then when something would happen in my life that affect me in an emotional way I didn't like, I would say this sobriety thing ain't working, okay? So I found out this time in my recovery that I need to keep God first, no matter what. And there's been a lot of things happen throughout my life in this recovery that have could have sent me back out. But I've had the support that God put in my life. I've got people in my life today that I never had before. These people actually love me. They care about me. I have a Healing House family. I have a church family. And now I'm starting to get my own sons back in my life. I have 4 grown sons, by the way. The oldest one's 40 and the youngest is 35. I was married for 25 years to their mother, and then I divorced her when I got sober. I decided it wasn't working anymore, and I was looking for a feel good. I think a lot of people are addicted to the same thing. It's called feel good. So if something makes me feel good, I want more of it. I don't care what it is. And that's what drugs and alcohol did for me. And that's what relationships did for me. That's what all these outside things did for me. It gave me feel good, but they were just moments. They didn't last that long. Which caused me to change my different methods of using stuff, okay? Whether it's people or whether it's drugs or whether it's alcohol. I was an IV drug user for 15 years. 15 years, I stuck a needle in my arm. 15 years, I didn't want to go through the withdrawal. I drank all the time. I used other drugs, cocaine, speed, narcotics. Today, I don't need any of that. Today, somebody asked me a while ago, I said, how you doing? I said, I'm reasonably content. You know, I used to think when you got sober, you're supposed to be happy. You know what? It's not about being happy. It's being reasonably content with who I am today, at ease on the inside. See, that's what I was running from. I wasn't running from the outside stuff. I was running from that feeling on the inside that I didn't like. I didn't like who I was. You know, there's a favorite scripture I have. I only know a couple anyway. But my favorite one is, therefore, if anyone be born in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. Today, I want to be that new creation. I want to be that. I don't even want to be who I was yesterday. I want to be somebody new today. Tomorrow, when I wake up, I want to be better tomorrow than I was today. You know, God's blessed me with a lot of things. Like I said, I got my sons, a couple of my sons back in my life. I've been at Healing House for almost 8 years. And when I first got there, I was going to stay 30 days and I was going to go on back to Hawaii. I lived in Hawaii for 8 months. That's a whole nother story, okay? But I was going to only stay 30 days. So it's been the longest 30 days of my life. But you know, God had a purpose for me. And I've always searched for a purpose throughout my whole life. I used to think it was to be a good husband, a good father, a good employee, gaining wealth or whatever it may be. But it was never that. That was not my purpose. My purpose is to try to be a service to God and my fellows. That's my real purpose. And I try my best every day to do that. I fall short just like everybody, but you know what? I don't have to beat myself up anymore about it. I don't have to use over it. All I do is ask God to continue to show me what He wants me to do and be who He wants me to be. And whenever I've done that, I've never relapsed. So I continue to do that. I've been coming to this church for almost 8 years. It'll be 8 years. I'll have 8 years January 2nd. That's if I stay sober. And I say that if I stay sober, because I never know. But I know if I do today what I did yesterday to stay sober, and if I do it tomorrow, and then whatever may follow after that, if I keep doing what it takes me to stay sober, I stay sober. You know, the first thing I do is I pray. The second thing I do is I try to get involved with recovery, not just be around it, but be in it. You know, I tell people all the time, you got to be in this thing. You can't just hang out in it. You got to be in it. I share in meetings. I listen in meetings. I listen to when people are telling me the right things to do, and I don't listen to the people that are telling me the wrong things. I continue to do what God wants me to do. You know, Tom and I have celebrated our sobriety birthdays. This year will be the 8 years for me and 10 years for Tom. And I'm blessed to know him as a friend and a mentor. What? What? Oh, you love me? I love you. So anyway, let me back up for a minute. So I lived in Hawaii for 8 months, like I said, and I had a friend that owned some stores there, him and his wife. And for 10 years, they kept telling me, come over, come over, come over. And every time I'd think about it, I'd either meet a new girl or get a new job. So I didn't go. And then the last time I had spoke to him over 8 years ago, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go. So I went over and hung out for about 6 days, kind of laid in the pool in the backyard and went to the beach and sightseed and all this. And his wife said, do you want to work for him? And I'm like, yeah, I guess. I didn't say, what am I going to do? How much am I going to make? I didn't care. I was in Hawaii, man. This is awesome. When I went there, I was 2.5 years sober, okay? And then after 2.5 years of being sober, the first 30 days I lived on the island, I stayed sober. I went to some meetings. I tried to find a church to go to, but something wasn't right still. And I ended up relapsing, and I drank every day for the last 7 months I lived there. I'm gonna share this story about my sobrieties a little bit, okay? One time I was in a bar and I was drunk. This is not a joke, but it's funny. So anyway, I was in a bar and I was drunk and I passed out on the bar and the bartender says, Bob, you gotta go home. And I'm like, man, I'm cool, leave me here. And he said, nope, you gotta go. So I opened up the bar door and I looked down the street, and I always lived 3 blocks from the police station. That way I wouldn't have far to walk when I got out. So I remember looking down the street and I'm like, if I walk down the street, the cops are gonna arrest me for being drunk in public, which happened quite frequently when I was younger. So I said, maybe I'll go down the alley. So I was walking down the alley, and I don't know about you guys that drink, sometimes when you get drunk, you see double. I thought I was seeing double, because I'm walking and it's shadowy back there and there's a street lamp. Well, there's two manhole covers, right? Well, one of them wanted to cover. It was the hole. So I stepped in this hole. It was 12 feet deep. And there's no ladder to climb out. So I remember I'm down here and I'm screaming and I'm hollering. I'm like, help, help, I'm in the sewer. Get me out, right? So nobody's coming. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. So there's not a lot of people in the alley at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I remember hollering down the sewer line. I'm like, help, help, I'm in the sewer. Thinking somebody'd hear me through their toilet. This is true, you can't make this up. So, no response, and I kept climbing, and I'd push my back against the wall, and I'd have my hands, and I'd get all the way to the top, and I'd get my fingers on the edge of the lid, or the edge of the manhole, and I'd slide back down. And I did that I don't know how many times. I was probably down there an hour or two or three, I don't know, long time. But I kept doing that, and I kept falling back down, and I kept falling back down. So it's kind of like my sobrieties, okay? I'd get all the way thinking I'm getting ready to step on solid ground, and I would fall back down. Well, while I'm down in this manhole, somebody finally shows up, and the guy says, hey, what are you doing down there? I'm like, I fell in the manhole. What does it look like? And I said, get a rope, a ladder, something, right? So he goes, well, I just live right here. I'll bring a ladder. So he brings a ladder, and in the meantime, a cop shows up. And he goes, what are you doing down there? Like, I fell in the manhole, right? So he goes, here comes a guy with a ladder. I'm like, cool. So this guy puts the ladder down, and guess how many steps it took me to get out of that 12-foot deep manhole? 12 steps, okay? God was trying to explain something to me back then. But see, I didn't look at it like that. I looked at it like this was a mistake on my part. But now I look back and I go, you know what? That has been a lot like my sobrieties. I would get doing fine because I wasn't working the steps. But then when I started working the steps, my life started coming together a little bit. And then when I continue to work them, it keeps coming together. And then when it doesn't, I'm still okay. I want to talk just a little bit about my Healing House family because that's really important to me. They are a huge blessing in my life. Are you trying to get me to wrap up, Tom? Because I'll talk a long time. Oh, 5 minutes? Okay, I'll be done in 10. And for those of you who don't know, I like to give people a hard time. So anyway, my Healing House family has been a huge blessing in my life. Bobby Jo Reed is like a sister to me beyond belief. She's closer than any of the family members I've ever had in my life. We are so much like brother and sister, it's scary. I remember one time we went to a store to buy some countertops for the Pink House. And we get to the counter and we're bickering back and forth like we always do. And the lady says, are you married? I'm like, no, that's my mom. Everybody calls Bobby Jo mom. I call her Bobby Jo. So anyway, I've done a lot of work around the ministry, done some remodeling work. I did a lot of it, and I enjoyed that. Never accepted payment whatsoever. I didn't want it. I didn't need it. I got rent, but that was it. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to give back what these people blessed me with. And they blessed me with the ability to learn how to love each other and care about each other. I got ran over by a car about 4 years ago or so. And I was on a scooter that Bobby Jo bought me, so it's probably her fault. But I remember when I got ran over, we have an above ground pool in the ministry. And it sits between the Pink and the Purple House, which the Purple House is actually yellow, but that's another story too. So anyway, they were up there going swimming, and so I get hit by this car in front of my house, and there's 40 people running down the street to see what had happened. And they get there, and they do a prayer circle around the ambulance. There's 40 people doing a prayer circle around the ambulance for me. Some of the neighbors even got in the prayer circle. So I remember waking up in the hospital. I come out of the anesthesia when they screwed my heel bone back on, and Bobby Jo and Judy, which is the director and assistant director, are sitting there at 3 o'clock in the morning waiting for me to get out of surgery. And I told them, I says, go home. They go, well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, Bob. We want to make sure you get in a room. I'm like, I'll be fine. Go home. So I remember waking up in a room and I had a roommate in the hospital. And I told him, I said, I'm probably going to have a lot of visitors. He goes, oh, that's no problem. I'm like, no, dude, you don't understand. I'm going to have a lot of visitors. So group after group after group of people showed up. Every day, that I was there. And every surgery I had since then was there every day. People from the Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, people from Downtown Church, people from Healing House. I had my own family didn't show up to see me, okay? But all those people did. They become my blood. They become God-given family, okay? Sometimes we get God-given family and sometimes we have blood family. But when God gives you a family, you gotta appreciate them. You gotta care about them like they're caring about you. But I remember sitting there and I told this guy, you know, I said, you know, that I was gonna have a lot of visitors. He goes, oh, that's cool, you know? So anyway, he says, are all those people your family? I'm like, every one of them. And at that time, I had an African-American girl there named Rhonda. She was like a sister to me. And I remember she was there and he goes, that's your sister? I'm like, yeah, she's my twin sister. But you know what? God has a way of letting me share a message to other people too. Every time a nurse would come in the room, man, we started talking about Healing House. Every time a doctor there, we talked about Healing House. We talked about recovery, we talked about God. We talked about what God's done in my life. Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to share what God has done in your life. If you don't share what God's done in your life, then you're doing yourself a disservice. You're doing God a disservice. It's important to share what we know, what God's done. So anyway, I think I'm gonna wrap it up. That's all.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you would like more information about this ministry or Church of the Resurrection, visit our website at core.org/recovery, where you can find a listing of support groups that meet every Thursday. If you would like more immediate attention, our congregational care ministries have several support options such as prayer requests, counseling, etc. at core.org/care. Thank you for listening today.